was my way of saying freedom, mum can contest, contest. To be able to say what you want without any consequences. I know. Hey, don't boo me, we all think the same. Yeah. Or in my circumstance, to be able to send an email without getting, so that is freedom. That is freedom to me. Or, I'm surprised no one said it, a Scottish man with face paint going, freedom! Yeah, that is freedom to a lot of people. But it is fair to say that everyone has a view of freedom. And here is a couple of quotes that people have said. So one of them is, those who do not move do not notice their chains. I think that's quite deep. You then have this one fills me with fear. I'll let you know what fear is to me, no fear. That scares me. Then you've got, the secret to happiness is freedom, and the secret to freedom is courage. And then of course, you can't talk about freedom without this guy, Nelson Mandela himself. And he said, the purpose of freedom is to create it for others. Right? Now, I don't know which one spoke to you the most, or which one scared you the most, but it is fair to say that freedom is something that everybody has a view on, that everybody wants for themselves, whether they know who it looks like, or whether they know how to find it. And this is something that Paul was very passionate about, even to the point of frustration. Right, you can see this in all of his writings, but particularly to the church in Galatians. They had allowed Jewish leaders or believers to come in and, let's be real, chain them to the law. They were teaching them of a different gospel. They were telling them they need to be circumcised, that they need to eat certain foods, that they had to follow everything else that was in the Torah. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like freedom to me, right? Now, I know that the Torah was set for a purpose, for a particular point in time, before Jesus came. And of course, Jesus came to fulfill the law, not to destroy the law. All right, I will not touch the cable. I will leave the cable alone. But they held the law more important than what Jesus said, what Jesus did, and they held the Gentiles to this standard as well. Now, when we talk about the gospel, what is it that we're actually talking about? Well, I have a really lovely video that I would like to show you that explains it very well.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Excuse me, son.
Yeah?
What have you got there?
Got some birds, some wild birds.
Really? Yeah. Where'd you get them?
Out in the field over there. There's a field with wild birds.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't mind my asking, what are you going to do with them?
I'll play games with them.
Games?
Yeah. I play games with wild birds, yeah.
Kind of
sometimes I like to put a stick in there, you know, and they're like, cow, like that, you know? And then sometimes I like to ride up to the cage, and they think it's an earthquake, and they love that.
What happens to them after you're done playing games?
Usually I feed them my cat. You know, my cat has wild birds.
I'll tell you what, I am fond of wild birds.
You are?
Yeah, let me buy them from you.
You want to buy my wild birds?
Yeah.
They're no good for nothing, they can't do them tricks or nothing, and when you open this gate, they're just going to fly away.
How much?
You serious?
I'm very serious.
$5.
All right.
$10.
Okay.
$20.
They're wild birds.
They're exotic birds.
You found them in a field.
An exotic field.
All right. That's all I got.
See you later with the cage.
Yeah. What you got in there?
You know what's in there.
mankind.
Found them in the garden. Funny thing is, they put themselves in that cage. I had nothing to do with it.
So what's your plan to do?
I'll play games with them.
Games? What kind of games?
All kinds of games. I'm gonna put games into their life that they think is gonna bring them so much pleasure. I'm gonna turn the world upside down. I'm gonna make right seem wrong and wrong seem right.
And then?
They'll be damned for all eternity.
My father and I, we're very fond of mankind.
I know.
We want them to have access to us. So, I'm going to pay for their freedom.
You want these humans?
Yeah.
You know they promised you everything before. They're going to turn their backs on you.
Some will. And some won't.
You're serious.
Oh, I'm very serious.
It'll cost you your tears.
I know.
Your blood.
Yeah.
It'll cost you your life.
I know.
You're willing to give your life.
I'm willing to give what it takes.
This reminds us about what Jesus did for us on the cross. He picked up that wooden cross and carried it to Mount Calvary because he loved you and me.
Creative way to show us what the gospel actually is, but also it holds so much truth and so much power, and I almost cried if I didn't, so I'm very proud of myself. But that helps us to really see what it is. And in chapter 3, I know you looked at chapter 3 last week, but I am going to go back because chapter 3 is a really good chapter, so why not? In chapter 3, verses 13 to 14, again, Paul really gets what the gospel is in these couple of sentences. And it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is the one who hung on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Amen. If you're not Jewish heritage here, you are a Gentile. Sorry to break it to you. So that we might receive the promised Spirit through works.
No.
Through
faith.
Thank you. I will wake you guys up. Exactly. Through faith. And this is my first point, looking at the freedom of the gospel. Now, my question to you guys, is there any film lovers in the room? Put your hands in the air. Quite a handful. Okay, so my question to you guys then is, would you agree that in every classic film you have good versus evil?
Yes. Yes.
Right? In every classic film. But also, in every classic film, you also have that scene where everything seems lost. When the villain seems that they have won.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, this is exactly the same with one of my favourite films, and this is one of them.
No.
star. One more. How else would you respond?
Power of the state.
Yeah, that is fair with that one, definitely. So a couple of my responses is, well, that wasn't the mood I was going for. But why is a massive thing. That's not how I would have written it, especially if it's a crime drama. That's what I would say. And I knew that that was going to happen. Does anyone else have those thoughts about those kind of films? Yeah, I'm glad I'm not the only one. Now, of course, this isn't the end for Simba, right? He goes through feeling a lot of guilt, all because of what his stupid uncle says to him. He then goes and works through it with Pumbaa and Timon. He then falls in love.
Aww.
I know. He then goes back to Pride Rock to fight his uncle, and he becomes king. Now, if you've not seen Lion King, I should have said spoiler alert, but it has been out since 1994, so come on. Anyway, this is something that people love about stories. Again, there's another classic film. Because people love to know that good is going to overcome evil, especially when all seems lost. Now, it's very different when we believe this of films to when this is our story as well, right? You don't believe me? Okay, let me break it down for you. You have a villain who thinks that he knows what is best for the entirety of mankind, that being the devil. You then have the unlikely hero that gets kicked out, not quite kicked out, but who gets rejected by his own hometown, that people don't believe him, that his ideas of those days did not fit in with the culture. You then have his friends, who love him to no end. Some believe, some don't. You also have someone who betrays. You then have the battle scene where there is thunder, there is lightning, there's an earthquake, there is darkness, that being the cross, right? You then have that moment where all seems lost, when our likely hero is dead. But then we have the triumphant ending, or in our case, the continuation, because he is risen, indeed.
Amen.
It's all right, we'll get there. And this is the story that we are living. Now, there is so much more to chapters 3 and 4 of Galatians. It's not just good versus evil, but Paul, in all his writings, also speaks about what God wanted in the beginning. And that was a multi-ethnical family, right? Meaning that everyone is welcome. And we see this, in verses 26 to 29. And it says, all in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through
faith.
Thank you, Naomi. For as many of you are as were baptized in Christ have put on Christ. There is, therefore, no Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs to according to the promise. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Exactly. Once you give your life to Jesus, once you see the beauty of what he did on that cross, you are considered children of God. You are considered heirs with Christ. And this is where we do come in chapter 4. I will be talking about it. Don't you worry. In verses 1 to 3, we see that Paul uses a language that they would have known in those days. The language, the concept of heirs and guardians. The fact that when you were an heir in those days, you might not have had access to your inheritance until you got to a certain age. And you were under the care, or sometimes the control, of your guardian. Hence why Paul speaks about it being enslaved. Okay? And again, this doesn't sound like freedom to me. Yet, he continues in verses 4 to 6. And this is where the story really takes a turn. And it says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. God placed his Son, his one and only Son, under slavery of law, of sin, so that we could have access to him, so that we could be adopted into his family. Mm-hmm. Amen? Okay. Now, in those days, to have sonship, you would have had everything. You would have had inheritance. You'd have a roof over your head. So for you not to, you wouldn't have anywhere to go. Now, this isn't our story. No matter what situation you find yourselves in, because of Jesus, we have a home. A home with a capital H. That being heaven. And this is what we have to look forward to. Now, this isn't just Paul's words, but Jesus himself. In John 14, he says, in my Father's house, there are only a couple of rooms. What does it say?
Many.
Many rooms, thank you. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. Doesn't have a number, many. Okay? If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Okay? We have a place in heaven. This is something that we should get excited about. This is something we should find joy. This is our hope in this hopeless world. Jesus died on the cross so that this could happen. Are you guys starting to see the freedom yet?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, good. Yet there is more, right? Not only do we have a place in heaven, but we have the honour of calling God Father. Okay, what does it say? Abba, Father. It's not just with the church of Galatians, but he also speaks to church in Rome. And it says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery, there it is again, to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, what?
Abba, Father.
Thank you. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs of Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified with him. This was Paul's heart, that we may live by and in the Spirit, not relying on the things of the flesh, not relying on the things that we were slaves to. We have adoption instead of fear. Amen?
Amen.
But not only that, what does our spirit cry out? Abba, Father. Exactly. And the concept of being heirs, of being sons, of being daughters of God is an important one for us to grasp. It might take us a long time to understand why, but it is a truth that we can live out. But not only do we call God the Father, what do we call him?
Our Father.
Our Father. Exactly. It becomes extremely personal. Getting to call the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, our Father. And this was something that Jesus taught his very disciples to pray, the Lord's Prayer. What's the first sentence?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come.
Exactly. But you get the point, right? He is our Father. We get the honour of him being our Father. But, like any good father, along with love, care and support, there are times where he will challenge us. But he wants to protect us in that, and we need to know how to listen to his voice and obey, which is my second point. There is freedom in obedience. So my question to you guys, I'm doing way too much talking, is there any phrases or words that fill you with dread? Let's keep it funny.
Interview.
Yes, my goodness, interview. Yeah, what about second interview? Does that still fill you with dread? Or exams?
Absolutely.
Can we talk? Oh man, can we talk? Absolutely. Mine is Abigail Elaine Pike. That's me. Very much. Anyone else?
Telling you that you have a serious illness.
Yes, absolutely. That can definitely fill you with dread and fear. 110%. One more.
Dentist.
A woman after my own heart. My goodness, yes, dentist. Now, for me, apart from Abigail Elaine Pike, you've also got Give Me One More Set. I don't want to do that. If it's squats or if it's burpees, I don't want to give you no. I don't want to be doing that. Or another one for me is instant coffee. Sorry, guys, I am a coffee snob. Okay. Although, I will be fair, the filter coffee is absolutely fine. It's brilliant. It's the instant stuff that I can't do it. Or, even worse than that, is we have ran out of coffee. That is a nightmare. Especially if it's the morning, baby's not in your head, and I haven't had coffee. That is dangerous, and if you're around me, you will want to get me coffee as soon as you possibly can. I don't do well without coffee. I will be real. Now, I know that I'm playing around with that, but there are some hard-hitting words, especially if it means that we need to respond to it, if we need to put an action to it. And in the Bible, there are many, many words like that. One being forgiveness. Right? We know, and praise God, that because of what Jesus did on the cross, we are forgiven. Right? But with that, we are called to forgive. Now, that is hard. I'm not going to stand up here and say it is, because it is. And it might take weeks, months, even years, even a decade. But this is where we have the Holy Spirit to help us, to encourage us, to move us forward. Another word, quite hard-hitting, is repentance, right? Saying sorry for all of the wrong things that we do with our word, thought, and deed. The turning 180 degrees away from our past behaviours. It can be hard because it can remind us of that exact thing. It can be very humbling as well, but it can also bring us joy. It can bring us joy because we are able to come to him. We don't need to go through a priest. We don't need to do any sacrifices. We have free access to our Heavenly Father, for our Saviour. How amazing is that? Right? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, of course, the last word, obedience. Right? And we can see that Paul is very passionate about the gospel and living it out in faith. But he's also wanting us to play our part too. And he doesn't shy away from that. He knows that there is freedom in gospel, but also there is freedom in obedience. Let's look at verses 7 to 9. And it says, "So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." Here it is. "Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather be known by God." Right, I'm going to stop there for a second. Before we knew God, or even knew about him, we were enslaved to something else. Okay? And this is where it gets incredible, because we went from slaves to an heir. That is a massive jump, if I ever did see one. And God doesn't just know us, but he knows us by our names. We are known by God. Now, I do have permission to show this picture of my loving mom. There is a massive difference between knowing about someone and being known by someone, right? I can tell you that I know Tom Hiddleston, which is the lovely guy on the far right, your left, the guy who plays Loki. I can tell you that he's about 44 years old, that his birthday is the 9th of February, and that when he first auditioned, it wasn't Loki, it was Thor that he auditioned for. But then he saw Chris Hemsworth, thank you, I don't really care about him. Chris Hemsworth walking, and he felt very, very humbled, is probably the best word to put it, and he went for Loki. So I know about Tom Hiddleston, right? But I'm not known by Tom Hiddleston. My mum knows me. My grandma, who's the other lovely lady with the sunglasses on, knows me. They know everything that there is to know about me. And because I am known by them, that brings a freedom into our relationship. That makes it very personal, very intimate. Are you guys starting to see it, right? And this is the relationship that we can have with God. So let's continue. Beginning of verse 9. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elements, principles of the world? Those slaves you want to be once more. My goodness. You observe days and months and seasons and years. Paul is getting frustrated. Okay? He is like, come on. Why are you going back to the things that you have been enslaved to? Things that you are chained up in. When I have given you, when I have told you about this freedom, when I have told you about this Jesus Christ, when I have told you about the gospel. Now, we can sit here and we can judge those people, but how often when things get hard do we go to things like the gym? I'm preaching to myself, guys, okay? TV, drink, work colleagues, approval of others, money, our dreams, wanting control back. If you're anything like me, you're like, yes, Jesus, you can have it all, but not that part. Anyone else? Was it just me? Or again, if you're anything like me, you're a foodie, so you always turn to food, right? And there are so many other things that we can find ourselves turning back to. And this wasn't any different for the people in the wilderness, right? They were complaining, they were grumbling, and they literally wished they were in literal slavery back in Egypt. Instead of trusting the very God who saved them and who brought them out of a horrendous situation. And we can all think and we can all want this because it might seem easier. But is it real freedom? Paul then continues in verse 11, and he says, I am afraid that I have labored over you in vain. This man is hurting. He is lamenting. He is lamenting over the hope that he wanted to see these people grasp the freedom of the gospel. Remember, his heart is just as Jesus' was, that we would become one family and that we would live in freedom of the gospel. And he goes on and he starts to say how everything that they have done for him in the past, because he's a very grateful man, is Paul. And then he comes to chapter 5. Now, I know it's not my chapter, but I am going to end on verse 1. And verse 1 says, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, to conclude, I am finishing. When it comes to freedom, a lot of people see it as chains being broken, as a distance between yourself and something else. But what I'm hoping that we're starting to see, or hopefully have already seen, is that real freedom is actually coming closer to one particular person, right? That being God, coming closer to him and giving him everything and relying completely and fully on him, choosing to become a bondservant. Right? Which is another word or another phrase that Paul also loved to use. Knowing that we have a God who wants what's best for us. That we are able to listen to him and hopefully learn to hear his voice and obey. There is freedom in the gospel, but there is also freedom in obedience too. So what do we do with this information? Well, let's go back to our guy, Nelson Mandela. The purpose of freedom is to create it for everyone or for others, right? So what do we do? Well, if you didn't know about the gospel before, I'm hoping you do now. And even if you did now, then I'm hoping that you have got more excited, that you're filled with more joy, that you want to share it with other people, that you want to share this freedom, this truth with them. I'll finish with Jesus. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Amen?
Amen.
This is Jesus' calling, but it's also ours too, because we have the Holy Spirit to help us do that. So to finish off, I want to play you guys a worship song. And I really want you guys to focus on why it is that Jesus deserves all of our praise and all of our worship.